Good morning. Today is Palm Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Immediately following this great time of celebration in the ministry of Jesus, he begins his journey to the cross, followed by the Holy Week. The focus statement for this morning is, we praise Jesus along with the crowds for all we know of his miracles and goodness, but it so quickly turns this week to events that led to his death. Longing to understand Jesus more deeply, we say, show us how to both celebrate your life and honor your death. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty, and restore all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace to the glory of your name. Amen.
Blessed be the name, Jesus' name.
The call to worship comes from Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will live to tell what the Lord has done.
God's faithful love endures forever.
Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer.
God's faithful love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. You are my God, and I will praise you. Give thanks to the Lord, whose faithful love endures forever.
God's faithful love endures forever.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2, and verse 19 to 29. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up.
Philippians 2:5-11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I am reading Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, from the New International Version. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as King. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Son, who in the Lord's name cometh a king. Hello and happy Palm Sunday to all of you who are listening to this broadcast. Of course, I assume you're listening to it on Sunday morning, but even if you wanted to get a jump start and listen to it on Saturday, I would still greet you with happy Palm Sunday because that's what we're celebrating this weekend. After long weeks in the wilderness, now we are ready to shout and sing and wave palm branches, if you have any at home, or at least remember doing that. But for the time being, we will celebrate with what we have, because it's enough. It's not everything we used to have, but it is still enough. And I'm very glad to be able to at least reach out to you this way, and I know I'm hearing from lots of different folks, and so we're still connected somehow. So before we start, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, Palm Sunday, one more week before the big event, and some people like to go from event to event, and if you have Palm Sunday on one Sunday, hip hip hooray, and then you get through this week and you come again next Sunday, and ta-da, there is resurrection, and we don't even face, you know, what happened in between to get us from point A to point B. There is a big link missing there if we just hop from one nice, happy event to another. And those of you who have been following along with our memorization of Psalm 90 will recognize that it's a very useful psalm to be memorizing in the midst of this time in between. It reminds us of the weight of our sin, of how God views sin, and that something very drastic was required in order to buy us, to ransom us, and to free us from that sin. And it's a wonderful thing, but it does need some time and awareness. However, we start with Palm Sunday, which is the celebration before the celebration, seems a little bit odd. And I was just thinking, now, if I were a writer, I like either Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Lois. How about that? The fifth gospel. But there is a writer, some of you might know, J.K. Rowling, who has written a few fairly well-known books. And apparently she has set up another Harry Potter at Home site so that all of those who love to hear her writing, who follow along with Harry Potter and his adventures and all of his friends, they can do these different things at home in the time of our pandemic. And I thought, well, if she can write, so can I. Well, maybe not quite as well. But if I were writing this story and, you know, choosing these stories, I'm not changing any of the stories, I would just change the order somewhat. Because if you are making a case for something, the proper writing order is to increase, you know, point one, and then you do point two, and then point three to build your case until you get to the climax and you see, you get to the end and you say, there, now I have proven my argument. So if I were writing, I would take the Palm Sunday event and I would put it right at the end because it's really the event that says, see, or ta-da. Some of you prefer that kind of language. That's what this is, when they were shouting and waving palm branches. And by the way, I'm sitting here waving my arms right now. I can't believe I'm doing this. But anyway, they were very excited and they were waving palm branches and they were saying, Hallelujah, Hosanna, which means God save us, as we already know. But some Bible translations I have found have put in the word hooray. And so you can, you know, use whatever other kind of word. This is actually a genuine celebration. But I would put the celebration at the end, after you've gone through step by step by step, and then you prove and you show, see, Jesus is the King, after he's come through all of these things. That's not how the writers did it in these Gospels. And we're going to be looking only at Matthew's today. But the more I considered Palm Sunday in light of this whole week and all of these unfolding events, well, maybe I should say exactly what I'm referring to, because we've got Palm Sunday and then we launch into Passion Week. And immediately after the entrance into Jerusalem, Jesus spends one night away and then he returns to Jerusalem. And he goes and he cleanses the temple. He throws over the tables of the money changers. And some say he braided a whip and he was flashing it about and sending the marketeers, sending all of these sellers of goods out. And he says, this place was meant to be a house of prayer and you've turned it into a den of thieves. So that's one of the events that kick off this tumultuous week. And there are lots of other different events. There's healing of blind men, one or two, we're not sure. And then there is the celebration of the Passover, which for the Jews was the big event. This was the huge celebration of God's redeeming God's people, bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them out of slavery, and they commemorate it on Passover. And we now mark it on the Thursday before Good Friday. That Thursday, we mark with having the Last Supper. It was the last time that Jesus met with his disciples, and he knew what was going to happen, and he was preparing them by these events. And immediately after that supper, then they went to the Mount of Olives, and where he was betrayed and arrested and put on trial throughout the entire night. And then Good Friday morning, when they brought him to be crucified. Well, he was beaten and he was mocked and spit on and so many other things that we will be commemorating on Good Friday as well, as we always do. And then there is Resurrection Sunday. So that's why I say these things, they're all here and they're in our minds even as we come towards Palm Sunday. We can't come as innocently as they came to this event. The people at that time, in that place, saw what was happening and they joined in the crowd. But for us, we're seeing all of this in retrospect. And we don't have to pretend that we don't know what else is coming. We do, and we have a larger picture of all of these events put together. And when I do that, especially Palm Sunday and the Good Friday, what comes to mind for me is a quote from Charles Dickens, Tale of Two Cities. Because I actually wrote down here, The Tale of Two Sermons. I won't try and do two sermons here. Don't you worry. Don't you fast forward me, people. But here we have The Tale of Two Cities, which is what Charles Dickens says. And this is the famous quote from it. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. It's funny how apt that quotation is for this time. The two things, the best and the worst, all brought together. Hope and despair brought together. Light and darkness brought together. And when we look at our world and many of the experiences that even some of our very dear loved ones in our congregation are facing right now, we look at the two things side by side, hope and despair, light and darkness. How do we hold these together? How do we maintain that tension and give them both their due? We can't just dismiss it and like bury our heads in the sand and pretend, oh, everything is fine, there's no darkness. Or the opposite. We cannot wallow in that despair and refuse to see the light that we know is there. They both have to be seen and appreciated and unfortunately experienced as well. I remember in my childhood, I'm sorry if some of you are sick and tired of hearing about my childhood, but it's all I've got. So I remember when my grandma died around this season, around Easter. And then the next year, my uncle was killed in a car crash at Easter. And it continued this way, relative after relative, right around the Easter celebration. And when it first started, I was distraught because I had lost my grandma. But I was also distraught because I thought, now this will ruin spring break. There is my holiday. I was looking forward to this, but I'm not supposed to enjoy this because I'm supposed to be sad because my grandma died. The two things, our lives are full of these kinds of things. How do we deal with that? How do we bring them together? And especially now in this season of pandemic, how are we supposed to be enjoying our lives or celebrating when there is so much death around, when there are people that are very traumatized by this and afraid, am I next? Or who of my relatives is next? Well, you know all of the things you've been hearing on the news as well. And this week, as I was going through the sanctuary without you in it, I was really missing all of the times that we had spent together and in that space especially. And even just last year, you know, coming down the aisles and celebrating Palm Sunday. And then I remembered, hey, that is written somewhere in the Bible. And actually it is, in Psalm 42. I'll start with verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in a procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. That's Palm Sunday. And I remember it. I remember doing it. And that's exactly how I felt just with this week. I remember coming in and shouting and singing and celebrating and everybody smiling and hugging and all of those wonderful things. I remember that. And the psalmist says, yeah, so do I. I remember that. Well, if you remember that, then remember this. This picture in Matthew 21. This grand celebration where Jesus told his disciples, hey, we're going to go into Jerusalem. You go on ahead, get the donkey and untie it, bring it back to me, tell them the teacher needs it and they'll let you have it. I mean, in a good way, they will allow you to take the donkey. And so that's exactly what happened. He knew that this was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. And so they came, they found the donkey just as he had said. And then here, verse 5, it says, this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. Hey, do you remember that song, The King is Coming? I think that one was back in the 70s or so. Probably the Gaithers sang it. The king is coming, the king is coming. Oh, that would bring tears to my eyes every single time. Not just because of my bad singing, but when I would hear those words, it was, yeah, very moving, very touching. And that's what this says right here. Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. So not only did Jesus know what was going to happen, but the prophet who wrote this, the prophet Zechariah wrote about this hundreds of years before it even happened, knowing and predicting and telling the people this is going to happen. So if it's so well known and well documented in all four of the Gospels, how could we not just grab hold of it and celebrate it for all it's worth? Our King is coming. Is coming to us. Another aspect of the coming into Jerusalem is that Jesus is called the Son of David. We often overlook that, but it's a key piece of information, especially for the Jews who were hearing this message to begin with. For them to be calling Jesus the Son of David, this is recognizing that Jesus is that king that was promised so long ago, since David was on the throne. And God promised David, he said, there will never be a time when your throne is not in power. This is the eternal king. Jesus is that king who sits on that throne. This is not to say that Jesus is simply along the line of the descendants of David. He is, as a human being, within David's line. But this is simply to prove that he is the Messiah. This is the one, this is the king, the final king that even David was looking forward to. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This is the celebration. So now, no matter what happens, these things are true. If we just take this picture, take this time, and recognize these things are true. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the King, and He rules forever and ever. Some of you might be reminded of those verses in Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 and 19. Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vine, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. These things are true. Palm Sunday is true. The witness of Palm Sunday is true. No matter what happens, things will happen that test that belief, that make us question, make us wonder. But in fact, those events afterwards only serve to remind us again of what we stated on Palm Sunday. Some of us have had events in our lives that are mountaintop kind of experiences. That's not so that you have that kind of feeling of exaltation all the time, that you need that to prop yourself up all the time. No, that is a special gift because hard times are coming. Difficult experiences are coming that are going to directly contradict or seem to contradict that event, that experience. But these things are proven by truth. I'm talking about the celebration of Jesus as King. It's simply the truth. It is true. So all other events have to be interpreted and understood in light of those truths. So as these other things happen throughout the week, throughout this next week, Passion Week, we need to look back and remember and grasp, hold on to that Palm Sunday celebration. Those words of acclamation that said, Jesus is the King. He will save us. So in conclusion, we look at what's happening in the world and we look at what we are celebrating. Two things, opposite poles, and yet we hold them both together. Please read with me the benediction for today. May you find the balance you need in the ups and downs of your life. And may you have the courage to keep walking with Jesus. Go in peace to continue your walk with Jesus. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service recording is obtained from one license number A733949.